Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. For the traditionalists. Yeah, that's for the traditionalists. If you keep up with it, you know it actually did not fall on him. It was actually Friday. But amen. Pay me no never mind. Amen. Y'all. Nate, you all right? You all right, Nate? <It's> the... Amen. Amen. Come on, if you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Acts, chapter number 3. Starting at verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. If you don't, the word is on the screen. And the word of our Lord God reads, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Amen. You can be seated in the presence of our holy Lord God. All right, we're talking about broken people. Broken people. And we're not your traditional church, so therefore that makes me not your traditional pastor. So I don't have a traditional Easter or resurrection message. I have what I believe God has given me. Amen. Broken people. Do you know somebody, and can you relate to being broken? Broken, right? Broken. So as we look at this, as we move into Acts chapter number 3, we understand, based upon Acts chapter number 1, Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the disciples who have now become apostles, and they have been baptized with this Holy Ghost, moving in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, performing miracles and things of this nature right here, speaking in other tongues, prophesying, all these different things that have transpired. Before we get here, so we understand Peter and John are part of that 120 that received the Holy Ghost, which was poured out upon them while they were in the upper room, consecrating themselves, praying, seeking God, waiting for God to give them the promise, that being the Holy Spirit. And so as we move into chapter number 3, Peter and John are familiar with miracles. One, because they stayed in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the 3.5 years that he was there. But then, two, God allowed them to flow in miracles, signs, and wonders. So performing miracles is nothing strange, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture, right? So we understand that a miracle takes place, so they're very familiar with miracles, right? So as we dig into this, as we talk about laying the foundation, right, we understand that it's a man who's been lame from birth. So from birth, he's coming to the world with an issue. Or a condition, rather. We'll use the word condition, right? And then looking up these different words, I'm going to start by saying broken. Broken is defined as something that is not working or something that is separated into pieces. I like that definition, number one, something that is not working properly. And so we understand this man has an issue with his ankle bones, which in turn allows his legs not to work properly. What's going on, Ty, man? Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Which, in turn, allows his legs not to work properly, right? And when you talk about condition is simplified as a way of living right? A way of living, or the physical state of something. The physical state of something. So we see he has a condition, his physical state, that being the anatomy, his ankle bones are weak, which is just caused paralysis in his legs. Amen? So we hear, and as we started, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You know, the ninth hour to be interpreted is around about 3 o'clock, right? Afternoon time. But what I want you to understand is they were going together to go into the temple for the hour of prayer. And if you know anything about prayer, prayer can create an atmosphere for miracles. Prayer can create an atmosphere for deliverance. Prayer can create the atmosphere for change in our lives. All right? For those of us who are willing to be honest and willing to be truthful and tell the truth about being broken. And when you think about his ankle bones represent his foundation. If you know anything about it, you go to any doctor, they'll tell you your feet represent your foundation. Right? So automatically coming into the world, he came into the world with a broken foundation. And isn't that just like some of us, you came into the world broken, self-esteem was broken. Oh yes, we're going to get real in here. Self-esteem was broken. Perception, your perspective about life was broken. Because until you get the truth of God and you begin to view things through your own perception, because we understand a person's perception is their own reality. Guess what? Just because it's real to you doesn't mean it's God's truth. That's what we found out. When you compare your reality and line it or put it next to God's truth, some of us have been deceiving ourselves all our lives. And when you think about it, most of us do some things because this is just what we do. My daddy did it. My mama did it. So this is just what I do. It's just what I know to do. This is all I've seen to be done. So even when you think about relationships, broken. Right? So think about it. Relationships are broken. Communication, broken. Your ability to receive love, give love, broken. Interpretation of what a healthy, proper relationship is broken. And I'm talking about relationship because we've been in a series where we've been talking about this is why we pray, or all things prayer. And we see, this may be my only little sprinkling of prayer I may get, right? So understand. We understand what prayer would do. It would create an atmosphere, not just a literal atmosphere, but prayer can change the atmosphere of your heart. Right? To cause you, for those of us who've dealt with a hardened heart, to cause our hearts to become softened that we can receive the word of God. All right? Have you ever felt let down by God before? I'm talking about when you prayed a prayer to God, but the prayer was not answered. And it left you thinking like, well, why did God not answer my prayer? And it left you questioning whether or not God was concerned about you. And see, if you're not careful, that thing was designed to break your trust, your dependency upon God, thereby leaving you or causing you to become a broken individual. Because if I cannot trust God, when I look at everybody in the natural, everybody else has already disappointed me. Everybody else has already failed me. Now they're telling me the one consistent, the one person that I can depend on. And you hear me, church circle, God will never fail you. But the reality that I feel like the prayer that I pray, God failed me. It can mess up your relationships. And we told you the foundation of every relationship, that, you know, most people say, okay, well, you can't have a relationship if you don't have trust. But we told you cannot have trust unless you have communication. Prayer at its core is nothing more than communication. You talking to God, God talking back to you. It's not monologue, but it's dialogue. And most of us have monologue conversations with God. We just talk to God and then we fly out the door. Maybe it could be that the prayer did not get answered because the answer was in the response that God wanted to give, in the instructional, in the direction that God wanted to give. But because we're so quick or impatient when it comes to stilling ourselves to hear God, we missed out on a response. Again, perception could have been off, right? Perception could have been broken when it comes to God. So, point that I'm making, they went into the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. Y'all bear with me, because there's a whole lot that's kind of going on right now. I got two notebooks up here because I was writing in two different notebooks, definitions in this one. So I just want you to understand something. I didn't go to bed at the well after 1 o'clock. just trying to just figure out how to place everything. But I promise you, it's going to work out. It's going to work out, right? We understand Peter and John to be apostles, right? So at this hour of prayer, this is something that is routine for them, for the Jewish people, for them to go to the temple to pray. It's routine. It's ritualistic. It's something that they do religiously. Religiously, right? Going to the temple to pray. So prayer was a good thing. Give me verse number two. Let me, because my meat is in my verse number two. So it says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This lame man, foundation is broken, but yet he has a daily routine. Carry me to the temple to get close enough to the church. Right? We've oftentimes, we've heard many different people preach this. I preached it before, where you talk about being laid at the gate called Beautiful, but yet you have an ugly situation or ugly problem or ugly condition. No, go take me to my usual spot at the gate called Beautiful with my ugly condition. Now, if you know anything about the culture, because his ankle bones are weak, thereby causing paralysis in his leg, can I have one of the little throw covers, please? Give me a chair. We illustrate around here. If you know anything about the culture, because, here, will you sit there? You're going to be the lame man today. The lame man, so just indulge me for a second. His people that he has relationship with. Now, and if I would have saw this early in my head, if I would have known you was going to be here, you big enough, I would have had you carry him up here. You big enough, Ty. But he's the lame man, lame in his ankle bones, right? And if you know anything about the culture, because what's not working properly, what is broken, we don't want to bring any attention to it. So the thing that's broken, we're going to cover. For that broken place in your life, most of us find ourselves just like this lame man. It's his ankle bones, which is his foundation, but for most of us, it's a broken heart. It's a broken dream that has paralyzed us. It's the rejection that has broken us on the inside. And see, we find ourselves trying to cover this brokenness that has paralyzed us. Maybe it's the fear that you may be dealing with that has caused you to be broken on the inside. Maybe it's because you had father issues and your daddy was never there and you feel like you cannot be who you're supposed to be because daddy was absent. Coverness. You always tend to find yourself falling short in the different relationships, but there are significant people you know you can count on. I can count on these folk to bring me to the gate called Beautiful every day, but that's all I can count on is just them to bring me to the gate called Beautiful. You can bring me to a beautiful place, but you can't get me to change. Well, I wish I had some help in here. Because in order to get me to change, how about we uncover my issue and let's talk about, how do I feel about being broken from my mother's womb? No, I was not everybody's choice, but thank God that I'm here. Daddy rejected me. Family rejected me. Friends have rejected me. I've been rejected by the opposite sex, but I'm still here. Self-esteem has been broken, traumatized, and I feel paralyzed at times. Oh, y'all not gonna help me. Y'all not talking to me, but I'm going to sure talk to you this morning. There's some days I feel paralyzed, don't even want to get up like the paralyzed man. I know he can't get up, but I'm just saying. You get what I'm saying? There are days where I feel paralyzed, I don't even want to get up. Depression and heaviness has caused me to be paralyzed. Because when I think about the issue that I'm actually dealing with on the inside, the comparison that I deal with of comparing myself to my peers and people in my family, and I see with their life compared to my life, their life look a whole lot better than my life. When I think about the days that I've been given the short end of the stick, I'm talking about when I did right, though. When I did the right thing and still seemed like I came out on the bottom. When I did the right thing and it seemed like it still didn't work in my favor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when you did right, when you did good, but looked like evil or bad was returned to you. Where I said, one more time, I'm going to trust God. Back is up against the wall. I've tried everything else, and it's all I have, God. And that one prayer that I prayed, and I feel disappointed because the prayer has not been answered. And if we be real, for most of us, we feel paralyzed. We feel helpless, and we don't want to talk about the issue that we're trying to cover day in and day out. In reality, what this man is, he needs help. Just to get to the church, he needs help. And see, if you're like me, see, I just had an episode probably 2 weeks ago where I needed help getting to the church. Yeah, I'm talking about me, the pastor. I woke up in a frame of mind where I did not want to come to church. And that's not like me. I've been sold out a good 20 years, but I woke up, did not want to come to church. I remember going to my child who had strep throat. We had already got the antibiotics in and everything. My mom was made up, but she tells me that her throat is hurt. I'm not coming to church. Oh, yes. Yo, y'all know what I'm talking about. When an excuse is right before you, you have an opportunity to take this excuse. What are you going to do? Because you know what I found now? It's easier to quit than to keep on pressing forward. It's easier to throw in the towel, but what I found out when it comes to God, you can throw in the towel and God will throw the towel back to you. Oh, no, you're not giving up. Oh, yes. Because he'll remind you, it's not your will, but it is my will that I've sent you to do. It's easy to give up. He's right at the gate called Beautiful. The gate symbolizes an entrance, an opening. You right there at the opening. But instead of them telling them to take me on in, you tell them, drop me off at my usual place. I don't want to have to come up out of rejection. Because if you take away my excuse, then what else would I have to hang on to talk about why I did not be who God called me to be, why I did not do what God called me to do? Oh, you're trying to take away my excuse, but you're right there at the opening. All you got to do is tell her, take me on in. No, but I'd rather stay out here and ask for money. Because the lame man has come to the conclusion in his mind that it's money that he needs. This is what I need. I just need a boyfriend. This is what I need. I just need a girlfriend. This is what I need. I just need a release. This is what I need. Oh, we out here. We might as well go ahead and talk about it. Oh, yes, I just need, it's cupping season. It's about to be summertime. Oh, yeah, I just need to get my body right. I need to get my body tight so I can put on and show off what I've been working for. Instead of them saying, take me in. We told you prayer is communication, but what does prayer do? Prayer brings you into close communion, close relationship with God, which then pushes you into community, becoming a unified body. And when you think about the people that are going in and out of the temple, where is this relationship with all these people? Everybody knows who he is when you go towards the latter part of the chapter. After the miracle is performed, the people are expressing, this can't be the same dude. We know him. This can't be the same dude. And all the while, he's standing there saying, it is I. And he's giving God praise because of what God has done. So where is the community, the unified body, if everybody has just, it's their norm to just walk by. See me with my hand out. Come on, you got to put your hand out. Walk on by. It's based on what I feel today. He's asking for money. Can you spare some change? You understand? Then some days he'll get bold. He'll ask for dollar bills, y'all. You know, he'll ask for dollar bills, right? And we'll just walk right on by. Loonies. He's asking for five, but Peter and John say, all I got is change on it. He wants to know, you got five on it? But the apostle's like, I ain't got five on it, but I do have change on it. You catch it? I don't have five. I don't have $5, but I do have change. Not coins, but I got change. Your life changing. Broken. At the gate, has the opportunity to go in, but wants to be in his usual place. I'm okay doing me. Are you really? Are you really okay doing you? Because if we pull the cover back off of you and we had to see the real you, the vulnerable you, who would we see? For most of you, we'll see a broken little girl in a 27-year-old body, and a 32-year-old body, we'll see a broken little girl. Broken men, broken little boys. Right? We've been talking about one of the simplest ways to understand maturity in a person is hear the speech. Hear the conversation, how they talk. Your age does not make you mature. Because you got some 55-year-olds just as immature. My wife, in the profession that she's in, when it comes to communication, she works in the medical profession, right? Now, you're going to be dealing with all type of patients and things of that nature right there. But you know what the expectation is when it comes to the communication? Whatever you have to communicate, you cannot have no aggressive hand movements. You cannot allow the tone of your voice to escalate. You have to be able to express your needs, wants, and desires without the other person feeling like they have to defend themselves. Or feeling like they're uncomfortable based off of your communication. Most of us have not been able to master this ability to talk in this particular means. If you like me, I talk with my hands. And I've been told I yell all the time. Now it is their word against mine. You know. But then in my defense, I say, well, why do you think a person would yell? They yell because they're not being heard or being ignored to a certain extent. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you talk about communication, it's one of the easiest and most simplest ways to determine whether or not a person is immature based upon how they speak. You can use all type of fancy words. Your vocabulary can be thebomb.com. But it does not mean that you know how to express your needs, wants, and desires in a manner that the person hearing you knows how to go and fulfill what you just expressed. Do you really know how to express you? Can you tell me who you are? Like if I were to go around the room and get another microphone and say, Who are you? I guarantee you, most of you will say, you'll tell me what you do. Because that's how most of us have defined ourselves as who we are based upon what you do. But who you are is separate and apart from what you do. What you do is just what you do. What you do doesn't make you you. Right? Passion is what I do. Right? Well, I don't know why we went there, but evidently that was a little sidebar. We had to take that. And we was talking about maturity. Where is this maturity to talk about the thing that's covered? Most of us are broken by hurts and pains that we have experienced that we refuse to talk about. In other words, I'll just keep it covered. I'm talking about the secret and the hidden alts. Yes, you apologize, but you have not dealt with the issue of the heart. In other words, your apology was nothing more than lip service. You apologized because it was the right thing to do. But if you truly forgave, then why do you still have all these evil thoughts swirling around in your head? Things like, I can't stand them. They get on my nerves. Or they make me sick. Stuff like that. You know, and looking at the crowd today, I'm not judging you. I'm not judging anybody, but looking at the crowd today, some of us will go further than that. And want to lay hands. Not like the apostles about to lay hands, but want to lay hands. If you smell. That's for all my WWE fans. Right? Some of us want to lay hands. And not the holy hands. The hands that will make you understand. The hands that will quiet you. Because you need help with being quiet. You need help with your performance. So, and I like to help people. That's how most of us think. You understand? But he's here at the gate called Beautiful, asking for alms. Every day when he has an opportunity to move from the gate inside of the temple. This, now I learned from Bishop T.D. Jakes, even when you look at the church or the temple and this paralyzed man right here, the conditions seem to be the same. The church or the temple is paralyzed just like the man is paralyzed. Now, he spoke about spiritual aspect, but I'm going to give you what God gave me. The foundation. See, I'm going back to the foundation. What makes the paralyzed man foundation is his ankle bones. But what makes the temple or the church paralyzed is the foundation, its belief system. Because at this particular time, understand, Christ has ascended back to the Father. He has proven that he is the Messiah. Mind you, he's already been put in the grave, crucified, put in the grave, and he was resurrected, rose with all power in his hand, showed himself to numerous people, and has ascended back to the Father. But yet, the belief system of the church is still off. We still question whether or not he is the Messiah. The Bible says he's the chief cornerstone. See, they got the image of your foundation right there. He's the chief cornerstone. So the foundation that the church is supposed to be built upon, see, now I got to bring another rock instead of the chief cornerstone. I got to bring Petra, Peter, because he's ascended back to the Father. So religiously, the people come to the church, and religiously, the people are walking by him and stepping over him and walking past him and walking around him. And if you're like me, now me, I would be there. And Pastor Terrence, thank you so much for giving us this understanding, because most of us, we sit and have conversations with ourselves. Oh, yes. I would be sitting there. I would be giving everybody the middle finger. That was my ring finger, y'all. Whoever didn't put money in my cup, I'll, And then I will make them know I mean it for real. Then I would do it double time. This is part of the culture to help those of us that cannot help themselves. Right? So I'm just telling you, I would be in my head cussing folk out. Right there at the church. Now, you got to understand where I come from. I come from a place where you reverence the church. No, you reverence the church. I'm talking about before you go in the church, you know you're wrong. You know stuff is not right. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I repent right now. God, wash me, cleanse me, create me a clean heart, renew the right spirit. In the church now. You got it right before you walked in God's house. See, that's how I was brought up, right? So the point that I'm making, reverence the church. But I'm telling you, I would be right there at the gate called beautiful or my ugly condition, cussing folk out in my head. You understand? Some of y'all are just like me. Because you would be mad about the folk not helping you. Even though it's a part of the culture, it never said it was their responsibility. And some of us get upset because other people don't help us. Now, I can see if I was not reaching out. Because then you would have an issue with me not reaching out. But I'm reaching out every day. And some of you religiously walk right by me. But your religious self going to the church to do a religious activity, pray. And you mean to tell me you went to pray and this God that talks back to us in prayer did not tell you to see about your brother in need? You went in the temple, didn't see about me, came out the temple and still walked past me. And we wonder why some people struggle with coming to church. Because some of the church people, because you can walk and I can't walk, you think you better than me. Oh, I said something right there. Oh, yeah. Because I can't walk and you can't walk because I'm dependent upon people to bring me to this one place every day. You act like you're better than me. See, that would have been me. Better than me. Down there came, you're not better than me. If I can walk, I'll show you what I'll do. If I could walk, I would beat you to the altar. And while you prostrating and bowing down, I'd be walking at the altar. I'm just saying. I would let them know. But at this daily place, and nothing has changed when you have opportunity. Could it be nothing has changed because you refuse to deal with what is covered? You only cover something because you're trying to protect it or you're trying to hide it. Which one are you? What are you trying to protect? That you're really not doing an excellent job of. Because when you deal with real spiritual people who can actually see, because one of the spiritual gifts is called the gift of discernment, who can actually see in the realm of the spirit, what you think you're concealing, you're really not concealing. Sometimes we just don't say anything because God has not released us to say anything. And knowing what we know, I still have to love on you. Then there's some people who swear, okay, well, I'm only doing this because I'm trying to protect myself. No, hurt people hurt people. And you wonder why not one of your relationships can call it or look at it as being successful, healthy, proper. Why? Because when you come back to the common factor in all of these relationships, I'm the one that's hurt. When things don't go my way, I lash out. When you say something that I don't like, I shut down. And instead of dealing with the issue, now I go and deal with the issue with me. I can't believe they said that to me. You start replaying what was said to you over and over and over again, wishing you had have did this in that moment. So I'm thinking about, well, if it happens again, this is what I'm about to do. This is what I'm going to do. So notice how you have this conversation with yourself. Causing your daily situation to become even uglier at a beautiful place. All right, give me verse number 3. He says, what? Who sent Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms? Now, all this man is seeing is religion, tradition, ritual, going in and out of the church every day. But nobody had the power or the authority to help change him. But here come along Peter and John bebopping to go into the, about to go get my prayer on. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. And they just, holy crip walking, just, you know, doing all kind of stuff. Just about to go get our prayer on. Just, he's seeing them and they ask alms. Now, although he's been religiously passed by every day, he understands, I can't give up. My skin is tough. You know how many people tell me no throughout the course of my day? I can't be moved by your no. So he's going to keep asking. And here comes Peter and John. So mind you, the point I'm making is he's seeing rituals, tradition, religion, passing by every day, going into the church. We do this because this is what we've seen done. We do this because this is what we've been taught to do. Well, do you realize you could be taught wrong? Huh? This is why we do this. Nobody taught you to care about me, check on me, see about me. You haven't saw me in a while. Hey, you okay? Just wanted to make sure you was okay. Huh? So he's used to seeing religion, rituals, and tradition. Give me 4. He says what? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. What has just taken place? Peter and John represent relationship. Do you understand relationship will cause your condition to change? Prayer brings you into close communion, close relationship. See, when you pray for real, prayer will cause your condition to change. When you think about Peter, Peter's name means petrol rock, symbolizing security. John, whose name means, in the Greek, it talks about what? Jehovah will graciously give. So when you put the two together to form a relationship, God will graciously give you security. He doesn't have security because his foundation is broken. Anytime something is broken on the inside of you, you are insecure about the broken area on the inside of you. Notice, some of us, we become introvert about the broken issue that's on the inside of us, but then there were some of us, we become an extrovert and try to make us believe that you're so over it. I ain't have to have no daddy. I did this. You'll look at all your accomplishments and swear it was you who did that. And every now and then you're sprinkling that God gave me strength to do this. But is God really getting the glory off of what just transpired in your life? Because your mind is only intact because God's grace, God's mercy. You only have activity of your limbs because God's grace and God's mercy. The breath that's in your body, you only have that because God's grace and God's mercy. So everything that I have, it's because of God. Relationship will change your condition. The thing that is not working properly, the thing that is broken, the state of mind, the physical state. So Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He got his hand now. He like, look on us. Mike! I'm going to have to be Peter today. Since Peter's doing all the talking, I got the microphone, I'm going to have to be Mike. Peter. I don't want to be you, Mike. You be John.
I'm John.
Man. You just look at him. Look at him with an intent look. Fasten your eyes on him. You looking at him? Look on us. This is relationship. And see, relationship is about to change your condition. Think about it. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody you say, I don't deserve this person? I'm talking about somebody that was really good to you, that you don't even know how to handle the love that they bring into your life. See, that relationship has changed the condition of your mind, changed the condition of your heart, changed the condition of your life, because you're dealing with something that you've never known, that you really don't know how to respond or react to. That's why some of us try. We purposely try to sabotage it. You're going to do little things just to see if they really love you like they say they love you. Because your mind cannot comprehend being loved this type of way. Relationship has said, okay, you know what? I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be understanding. I'm going to be long-suffering with you. This is love. Well, you're used to dealing with somebody who's impatient. Used to dealing with somebody who's always quick to yell and quick to raise their hand and quick to threaten you, I'm going to leave you and all this, you nothing, but I'm all these different things. But when a true, healthy, proper relationship comes, it will change the condition of who you are. Why? It's Peter and John. Through us, God is graciously giving security. He needs security in his ankle bones. You know, I begin to look at it. Do you know the ankle bone is considered to be a hinge joint? Hinges are attached to openings. The gate had hinges. But if I can get your hinge joint working properly, you can now move past these hinges in front of you all on your own. The relationship is about to change the condition of the man, his physical state. You looking at him, John? Because you represent that love that everybody been walking by him, just been. What do we say? Give me five. What do we say? We say what? Now, he gave heed unto them, expected to receive something. Now, this is the thing. Ankle bones jacked up, but he has expectation. He don't expect to walk, but he do expect you to give him some type of money. He doesn't expect to go in the temple, but he does expect you to give him some type of money. He doesn't expect to be healed, but he expects some type of money. He even expects most people to walk right on by. But he does expect, out of all these hundreds of people that are going inside the temple, I expect somebody to give me something. Somebody. I know God would touch someone's heart to give me something. The other thing he's not expecting, because we say he's not expecting to walk, so he's not expecting to deal with the thing that he has covered. But God, tell somebody, but God. Come on, give me my next verse. He says what? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Look at this. Peter and John were proud to say, I don't have no money. Well, most of us are too proud to say that you don't have money. You're too proud to let somebody know that you're struggling a little bit with your pocket change. Because what would they say about me if they know I didn't have money? What would they say about me if they knew I was in church praying to God, believing God, saying I trust God, but yet my bank account sometimes sees the red? What would they say about me? How would that make me look when I keep coming to the church every day, but leaving the same way that I came? Still paralyzed, still covering stuff, only to come back to this exact same place the next, very next day to do the same routine over and over and over and over again. But you know what I found out? Relationship would change your routine. Oh, yeah, man, woman, if you want to know if something is up with your spouse, look at their routine. if he don't necessarily put cologne on, or because some of them do put on perfume too. If putting on cologne is not his normal thing and not all of a sudden out the blue, he says, his routine has changed. Denoting what? There is a relationship, some type of relationship that has been established that is causing his routine, his normal routine to change. Well, I ain't gonna get no help in here. All you gotta do is begin to just look at the routine of the people that you're in relationship with, and it'll begin to tell you things. She's feeling a little more confident. Oh, somebody at the job is complimenting her. Oh, somebody on the job has made her feel real special. They told her that her perfume smells really, really good, and they noticed that she changed her smaller earrings, the earrings that you didn't pay attention to, but you was kissing all around her ears. But a total stranger recognized that her earrings were changing. He recognized that she did something different with her hair, and oh, she's eating it up because what she's getting at work, she wished she was getting at home. She feels paralyzed in her relationship at home. I'm dependent upon you to carry me because you keep reminding me that you're the breadwinner. You keep reminding me that you're the man of the house. You keep reminding me that without you, I'm nothing. No, the devil is a lie. Broken. Talking about broken people. Stuff is not working right on the inside. They were proud to say, we don't have silver and gold. But most of us too proud to say that. We don't have silver and gold. But such as I have, I give thee. What is he talking about? Only thing I have is the Spirit of God. It is free, and I freely give it to you. If you know anything else about the Eastern culture, definitely in Jewish culture, when covenants were made, one of the signs that covenant was made, they would put their hand under the thigh of the person that they were in covenant with. One of the other signs of covenant is how they shake hands with the right hand. Illustrate this with me, Mike. With the right hand, we grab all the way here, symbolizing covenant. This is the strength of the covenant, how we grab arms like this. Not the hands. Because the truth, when you go and look up hand in the Greek, it talks about this being the feminine aspect. The right hand that symbolizes the power and authority of God, but yet it is viewed as being the feminine aspect. So in the culture, the Eastern culture, when they grab hands, this is a handshake to them. This is word is bond right here. This is, okay, what you just said means something right here. This symbolizes also covenant as well. Word is bond. What do they say? Silver and gold we don't have. But what I do have, that being the Spirit of God, I'll give it to you freely. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, all of the traditionalists, if you need something, here goes my little sprinkle right here for your resurrection, right? Wasn't he broken for us broken people? He was broken first for us broken people to now be made whole. There's your sprinkle of resurrection right there. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, rise up and walk. Give me verse number 7. He says what? And he took him by the right hand. Right? He said, and he lifted him up. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You jump up first. We're going to make it look like I'm pulling you up. You jump up. But I want you to notice something. When he initially begins to get up, he's getting up on the strength of Peter. the rock of Peter. But by the time he gets to his feet, he'll be now standing on the strength, or standing in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, right? So his ankle bones denoted his foundation, because he believes in what Peter and John were able to give him, bringing him into covenant relationship with the King of Kings, bringing him into covenant relationship with the God that healeth thee. So now his ankle bones, that place that was once broken, has now been fixed. He said his ankle bones receive strength. My last verse, he says what? And he leaping up stood. Oh. He leaping up stood. And this is the thing. Lame from his mother's womb. But nobody taught him how to walk. Even when a baby is going learning how to walk, they stumble. Stumble forward, stumble backwards, stumble to the side. And if you're not careful, if they don't have the right encourager around them, they will actually try to give up on walking and say, you know what, as big as you are and as old as you are, get up off the floor crawling around. Come on, baby, walk. You can do it. That's how it was with my children. I put them out right here. Come on, baby. You can do it. Yes. And as they're getting closer, I would start inching away. And I know my babies are like, wait a minute. I was almost. And you'd be like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. They're so fixed on my face that they don't even pay attention to what my feet are doing. But I know even in that child mind, small as they were, they could say, hold on, something is not right. I was just this close. But the point that I'm making is no one taught them how to walk. No one taught him how to walk in his healing. In other words, he was just healed, and he owned his healing. Freely he gave, freely I'll be. You know, because we'll talk, okay, well, you got to teach me how to be delivered. Why I got to teach you how to be delivered? He delivered you. There's one choice this man got to make. Don't go sit down like you used to sit down. Just walk. Get into character, man. Just walk now. He took it a step further. Because you know, most of us, we would have been trying our ankles out. See, that would have been me. I would have been doing all kinds of things. I need to know if it worked, how yours work. I would have been, show me what. Walking now, but I would have went, how yours work? Crazy. I would have walked over to Peter and John like, does yours work like this? Am I doing it right? But you know what? Peter nor John made him feel shame about what he possibly did not know about walking. Because, you know, some of us are like, you don't know how to walk? No. Did you read my story? From my mother's womb, I was lame. No. But we think it's crazy when people say, you know what? I don't know how to receive love. What you mean you don't know how to receive love? I don't know how to receive love. We think it's crazy when people say, I don't know how to be free. Right? The shackles have been loose. The prison cell or the cage has been open, swung wide open. But because this is all we know, we don't know how to walk out. This is what's comfortable. Like his daily situation coming and being placed at the gate called was comfortable. But like we said, when the opportunity is presented to you, what will you do with the opportunity? Look what he did. He said, leaping up, he stood and walked. And he entered into the temple. He said, enough of this sitting out here. I'm about to participate in the temple. Do you see how relationship has changed? the condition of this man, not just his physical state, but his mindset has been changed. Because, see, some people make him think because he's lame. Because when you go back to the Torah, anyone that was lame could not enter into the sanctuary. Now, we're dealing with some religious folk. Won't you come in God's house like that? Don't you come in here with all your earrings? Don't you come in here with all your tattoos? Don't you come in here wearing jeans and Chuck Taylors? No, don't you come in here with your dreadlocks, your spiky hair, your piercing in your face and in your eyebrow. No, don't you come in here like that. And dare I say, don't you come in here with your mini skirt on. They do it in church, right? And we wonder why people don't want to come to church. But the last time I checked, God was not interested in the clothes. He was interested in the soul. I want to save the soul. Give me an opportunity to save the soul, and I can change the condition of their heart. As they start talking to me in prayer, I'll tell them, bring it down, baby. Bring the hemline down, son. I'll tell them what's too much. You just fall back, son. Can you love on them when they feel uncomfortable? Can you love on them when they feel like they don't belong? Like this man, he felt like he did not belong. That's why he only stopped me right here at the gate. But he went into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God with them.
Hallelujah.
What am I saying? We built relationship with him first. Before he came to the church, we reached out. Before he said he was making a commitment to come to church, I called him and checked on him. Hey, man, how you doing? I didn't beat him over the head with Jesus. Just checking on you. Need anything? You good? You all right, man? How the baby's doing? The baby's okay, man? Your wife good? She good, man? Y'all need anything, man? If they needed spiritual things, I made myself available. Meaning if they ask me for prayer, I will pray. But I don't want to force my God upon you where I cause you to then back up. Now, you can be doing all of those things right, and I'm about to get out your way, where you're not forcing God upon people. Sometimes people just have a bad perception about your God. They have a bad understanding about your God. And partly you can blame that upon society, what society is teaching you. Because now society told you everything is about grace, 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 grace. Jesus did bring grace and truth. He ushered in grace and truth. Could it actually be that what he's saying when I ushered in grace, my grace was the fact that I forgave you for all of your sin? That is the grace. Now, we know he's not saying, I'm giving you grace for you to just sin. Because, see, in church, people don't want to talk about sin no more. I refuse to be that type of pastor where I'm not going to talk about sin. No, I am accountable to God. Whether you come, stay, whatever the case may be, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. For example, when Jesus was on the scene, the woman caught in the act of adultery, standing before all of her accusers, but a ball naked, trying to hide herself. All you, these religious men, Pharisees and Sadducees around, caught her in the act. Took her out of whatever position she was in to bring her before the people. According to law, whoever the witnesses were, you throw the first stone. Whoever actually saw her committing the act, you throw the first stone. Then it becomes responsibility of us, the rest of the people, to follow suit throwing stone. But you, the actual witness, throw the stone. Jesus, being who he is, never disgraced her. Why is she trying to cover herself? You know what he did? See, people are always trying to interpret what he wrote on the ground. I believe he was writing on the ground because I don't want to disgrace you. I don't want to look at you when you already feel embarrassed about being caught in what you were caught in. And now you got your accusers, and guess what? It's the truth what they're actually saying about you. But I don't want to make you feel more uncomfortable than you already feel. So you know what? I'm going to just entertain myself by writing on the ground. And when it becomes my opportunity to speak, I'm going to speak to you. He who was without sin, let him cast the first stone. Everybody that had a stone ready to throw had to begin to just drop the stones one by one and begin to leave. And after he graced her, meaning he was able to move aside all of her accusers, all of the stoners, he then told the woman, now go and sin no more. So he doesn't give us grace as a means to just sin. What I understand, people are so grown, they hate when someone has to correct them. Because the truth be told, we hate being wrong. I'm done. I'm sorry, y'all. We hate being wrong. Because the truth be told, I don't care who you are, everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be right. And truth be told, if we ask you, you always right. You're never wrong. See, that's me. I believe I'm so intelligent. Oh, yeah, that's where Ryan gets it from. I believe I'm never wrong. It doesn't mean I don't know that I can be wrong. I know that I can be wrong, but I don't believe I'm wrong. What kind of sense does that make? Right? I'm only saying it because it's in the room. I know I'm not the only one. I'm not asking you to raise your hand because I understand some people, you don't want to give your ammo away. So just tap your feet. And if they see your feet, just scrunch your toes up in your shoes so they can't see that though. To let me know that you identify with what I'm saying. But this God that we serve, he's such a gracious God. He's such a loving God. And he wants to bring us in to relationship with himself. Because he understands being in relationship with him will change the condition of your life. It will change the condition of your mind, the condition of your heart, the condition of your spirit, and the condition of your soul. Not to mention the condition of your physical state. Because there were some of us, I really believe this man had it in his mind. This is like some of us, you know. You say, I know I shouldn't be going. I know I shouldn't be answering this phone call. I know I should not respond to this text because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's nothing but a booty call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I should not. But while you're debating whether or not you're going to respond to that text, answer that phone call, you find yourself getting ready. And you're condemning yourself like, I shouldn't do this. I told myself last time was the last time. Oh, but I got to be real. It was so good. And then you start talking yourself into it. Then you start trying to talk yourself back. No. I know it was good, but it's not good for me. It was good to me, but it's not good for me. I just need to stay home. And you unplug your phone. You didn't turn it off. You just unplugged it. You know somebody, and can you relate? But if you ever come into relationship with him, he would change the condition of what you're struggling where you know you should not go, places you know you should not be. He will change the condition of that. Now, for some of us, it could be instantaneous, just like this. But then for some of us, it is going to be a process. He's going to process you through it. And when you think about this man lame at the gate called Beautiful, see, some of us will get upset with his process. You keep coming here every day, and nothing changed. You've been coming to church 5 years. Why you not delivered yet? You've been coming to church 7 years. Why have you not changed completely yet? Why aren't you obeying God like God said? Or do you understand that process is not your process? See, I'm learning some things, y'all. That process is not my process. Some things God just delivered me just like that, and some things I'm right now still being processed through some stuff. Me, I have a mouth on me. You do too, but I'm just saying your mouth is not like mine. Mine is cutting. It is cutting. I will try to chop your knees off. And you'll never, ever, ever walk again. See, that's my first line of defense. Y'all know me. I think about what? 2 years ago, I just asked God, God, please deliver me from spirit of fighting, God. Because you know, I will still fight, God. It's the truth. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, spirit, fire, baptized, I still will fight. Oh, yes, I don't like to fight, but I will fight at the drop of a dime. Oh, don't get it twisted. Loving Jesus. And after I beat somebody up, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm sorry for what had just occurred. But God, I pray even through this beat down, God, that you would change them. Let them come to know. Let them come to know you, Jesus. I'm here for them. I'm just saying. Simply put, y'all, he wants us to be in communion, close relationship. So we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you right now, God, as we come before you. We, your children, God. As we've been consistently talking about prayer, God, and as we honor, God, what you did on the cross, God, we say thank you for what you did on the cross, God. Because you were broken for us broken people, God, that we can now come into relationship with you, God, and become whole again. We can be healed, God, mind, body, and soul, God. Down in our spirit, God, the things that we have tried to mask and the things that we've tried to cover up. Father, I pray, God, that you, God, would deal with us in the manner, God, that we will find the courage, God. We will maintain hope, God. We will have faith to believe and consistently trust you, God, that you're changing us, God. And I pray, God, through our relationship with you, Lord God, you would change the conditions of our mind, God. Change the conditions of our heart. Change the conditions of our physical states, God. That we can then say, God, we don't look like what we've been through. And we will give you all the glory. I pray for that person who doesn't know you, God, that they would invite you into their heart, God, that they would allow you to become their personal Lord and Savior, God, that you would sit on the throne of their heart as their King, as their Lord, as their Savior, God. I thank you for the word that you've given us on today, God. Let the word prick our conscience. Let the word pierce the spirit of the man, the woman, the child, God, the teenager, God, that we may become better vessels who are fit for the use of the hand of the master. And we thank you that through relationship, God, you're bringing us closer, that we will look more like you, God, by being created in your image, God, that as we go out, people will see your nature and see your character. We thank you, we honor you, and we give you glory and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.